Say hello to somebody again. Let the people you didn't say hello to say hello to them. Or goodbye, whatever it takes, wherever you are. I'm excited for our series called We Are the Church, because we just worship. Do you believe we are the church? Listen, we just said he won't fail. Do you believe that we get to be the church? Does this world need the church? So then we should be excited no matter what's happening around us. You know, right now, folks are all got their blood pressure all going crazy about everything happening around the world, but we just get to say, hey, my house ain't on sinking sand. It's built on the rock. Bring it on, baby. I'm ready to go. And that's what we get to do. We don't stand in a posture that's better than anyone else. We say, hey, I know what it's like to feel hopeless because I've been there, right? That's why we get to be the church. So let two people know right now. You got to let two people know. Leah's going to have a hard time because she's all by herself. We got to let two people know I am not alone. God is with me. Let two people know. Come on. I'm not alone. God is with me. I'm not alone. God is with me. I'm not alone. God is with me. Guess what? Today, for our Vine kids, when you go watch that later today, that is a need to know today. That is the big idea. So we are actually going to do something even crazier today. We're going to go through the same, not the same lesson, even though it probably would make more sense than, anyway, but we're going to go through the same scripture that they're going through today in our Vine Kids area. So we're going to have something to talk about. But to kick it off, we know we're not alone. We're going to bring it back old school. If you were with us way back in the beginning, the first sermon example I ever got to give had to do with the Tootsie Pop. Anybody remember these little things? We were laughing about it. You can find the commercial on there. We'll go to the Mr. Owl because he's a smart one. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Right? You're welcome. You didn't know that I have voices too. It's terrible. And what was it? A one, a two, three. Right? Like you had those. But listen, this is what we're going to walk through today. We're going to learn through the day the center of it all. Because we'll spend our whole life trying to get to the center of it all. As a matter of fact, what we see in the world that we're living in right now is people are trying to find the center of it all. As a matter of fact, people will tell you, if you want to find out who you really are, go to this course. If you want to find out who you really are, read this book. If you want to find out who you really are, 12 easy payments of $99.99 that will be drafted every month on auto draft will tell you what it is. Complete this program, complete these steps. If you want to see the center of it all and find the real center of it all, you've got to go through this religion to get there. And I don't know about you, but I see a world searching. They're trying to figure out how to get to the center of it all. And before we get mad at them, we were all there at one time too. And so this is what I'm thankful for. So you got a little something to make you happy. This is what youth pastors do. Sometimes you put things under the chair of people, of students, and you're like, oh, that's going to be a bad idea. But when you give like a sucker, it's good because it's like a pacifier in a way. So wherever you go, I'm not a teacher, but I may play one on TV. So wherever you go, that's what we're going to talk about today. What's the driving force of you? What's the center of you? What is the thing propelling you forward? And that's what we're going to walk through. So really quickly, if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and get to Daniel chapter 3. Once again, that's what's going to happen in our Vine Kids Weekly. They're going to be in the same story. It's going to be a familiar story of the one and only fiery furnace or blazing furnace, depending on what version of the Bible you read. So if you want to go ahead and get to Daniel 3, if you don't have a Bible, as always, they're free for the asking. You can follow along with us on our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. You'll see sermon notes there. He's going to throw something and probably cut the feed. Let's give Zach a thank you, right? We can say thank you for Zach because he makes sure wherever you're watching around the world that you know what scripture it is. Because I could say Zephyrillus 17:12, and he would make sure it's supposed to say Daniel 3. So wherever you are, Daniel 3, if you've got your Bible, really quick, we've walked through Daniel before. It's exciting. I love going through the book of Daniel. So much in there. Daniel 1 and 2 happens. You find Daniel and his friends. The first thing they do, remember we were in the minor prophets. Israel's the northern kingdom. They go into Assyrian captivity. Now Judah is the southern kingdom. They've gone into Babylonian captivity. And what happens is Daniel and his friends have the first test. Will they eat the king's diet or will they follow the command of the Lord for their diet? They pass it. Nebuchadnezzar says, hey man, your God is good. I'm going to put you and elevate you over everyone else. Now let's not make any mistake. When it came to Judean and Babylonian captivity, what Nebuchadnezzar did in Babylon is he wanted to assimilate the brightest, the best, and the healthiest into Babylonian culture. He wanted them to let go of their Jewish custom, their Jewish culture, their Jewish God to follow him. So Daniel 2 happens, and he says, well, since y'all are so great and all the wise men are so great, I had a dream. Tell me what the dream is. And everybody said, well, just give me a little bit of symbols. And he says, no, if you don't tell me what the dream is, Nebuchadnezzar does, I'm going to kill you all. Happy Sunday. I'm going to kill you all, right? It's almost like a parent trying to clean the room. If you don't clean this mess up, I'm going to do what? I'm going to kill you. And you're not parents. Don't lie to your children. You're not. You know why? Because then you're going to have to clean it up. So you want to make sure that they understand. So Daniel goes, he interprets the dream. Nebuchadnezzar again says, only the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could do this. And now all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar is kind of like Ron Burgundy. I'm a pretty big deal around here, right? I'm a pretty big deal, right? So he goes and builds a little statue to himself, and it's a gold statue. It's almost 100 feet tall, like a big old statue, like you couldn't miss it wherever you were. And this is where we're going to pick up the story in Daniel 3. If you got your Bible, give me and get there. Give me an amen if you're with me. Come on. Amen. Big old golden statue. It's right outside the beacon. Anyway, a golden statue or wades, I'm just saying, wherever you are. This is how they go. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and people of every language. We just talked about this in the welcome. Every language. This is what you were commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and people of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, let me ask you, when I read that, I don't even know why they listed instruments, because there is no loophole about when you're supposed to bow down to the image. It says all kinds of music, right? The pipe and all kinds of music. It could have been any. So somebody's back there playing the spoons, and they got to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. It doesn't matter. All kinds of music. Basically, what Nebuchadnezzar said is something so foreign in the world we live in. Comply or die. Aren't you so glad we don't live in that kind of world anymore? Comply or die. My way or the highway, if you were to go back in the... we can't talk about Fred Durst at church. But anyway, if you were to go back to that, wherever you are, comply or die. Either, it's this way. What Nebuchadnezzar is saying is, I'm going to exert my will on you no matter what, and you'll either comply and bend to it, or you'll die by my will. But either way, you're going to bend to my will. Doesn't that sound like the world we live in? We talk about golden statues. We talk about these things, and it doesn't take a 100-foot statue for us to have to make a decision every day. Will we comply with the ways of the world, or will we die to ourselves and follow Christ? The advertising is built around that. That is the point of advertising. The point of advertising is to make you think you need something that is only a want, and I have what you need. I alone have what you need. That's what advertising is. When you go home today, that's what it's going to be. Every beer commercial has a beach party, right? And then we're going into the winter because you want warm weather. We're going into the winter of that. Every time you see an allergy commercials, because I got allergies like nobody's business, like we all do, it's always running around in the field loving on a dog and a cat, like massaging your back. Like, that doesn't happen. I have allergies. It doesn't happen that way. I look at the cat and I try to run him off and say, go on, furry animal. I don't have time for you. Wherever it is, it makes you think you need what they have. That is what modern advertising is all about. So as we face those decisions every day, may we always know what the center of who we are is. May we always have Christ at the center. We'll get to that here in a moment. Let's look at what happens as we go to verse 12 through 15. So what happens is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're actually going to get their Hebrew names here in a minute instead of continuing to call them that. They don't bow down. And there are some big wigs that didn't get promoted when they didn't eat the king's diet or when Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and they were left over. They were once in power, and now they're not. So they find out, hey, these dudes aren't following you, king. So what do they do when everybody who loses power goes? They go tattletale. I've talked about that before. I'm the baby. I didn't tattletale. I just blackmailed. It is what it is. That's how we roll. You can trust me with your deepest, darkest secrets. But there's one day that I'm going to need some macaroni and cheese or banana pudding. You're going to have to sneak it to me. I'm just saying. I know Olivia and Tim's watching online, or I'll make a bad grade on a test, and you have to know. Anyway, whatever that is, she'll tell you. We'll tell you about that later. I'm confessing my sins. So they talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and here's what happens. This is what the bigwigs say. Verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. furious with rage. Whew. Nebuchadnezzar sounds like a two-year-old or a teenager, right? Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, here he goes again. Whew, so much. Just say all kinds of music. But here we go. The horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music. If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Look at this. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Pride. You know what an abuser does when they lose power over the victim? They do what Nebuchadnezzar does. They get furious with rage. What do you think Satan's doing right now, the accuser, when we are in Christ Jesus? Oh, he's trying to tell us everything this earth can throw at us, the health diagnosis, the job loss, the income loss, the house fire, the house loss, the bad diagnosis. He's trying to convince us that all of those things are going to be what kills us. But it's the very thing that sin itself is the thing that kills us. And we know with Christ, he's already defeated it. So what do we get to say? Oh, we get to drop what Jesus dropped to Peter in Matthew 16:33. Get behind me, Satan. I ain't got time for it today, right? Now all of a sudden, this is what happens. So all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. And I just want to be honest with you. This is conviction of the Holy Spirit to me on this. Before we beat Nebuchadnezzar up about pride, if you know me, I'm terrible at taking compliments. I'm the first to take blame, and I'll be the last to take credit because I know that I struggle with pride. All of us do. You want to know how I struggle with pride? It's not going to shock you, but it might. Worry. Anxiety is how I struggle with pride. You say, how is that pride? You're thinking of someone else. Well, see, when I am worrying or I have anxiety, I'm trying to control the outcome. See, Jesus controls it. See, worry and anxiety is a form of pride because it's our sense of trying to remain in control. But see, there's a different side to that we're supposed to. What does Jesus call us to do? Pray. Pray is an act of surrender. It is a giving up of control. That is the least prideful thing we can do is pray. And so before we beat Nebuchadnezzar up, this is me preaching to me, maybe we should start with prayer. And if we started with prayer and then let the Holy Spirit guide me, I can tell you every situation I've walked in that I follow that, it has been an absolute miracle. You can throw me in a blazing furnace. You can do whatever you want to do. It has been a miracle. But when I've gone in headstrong on my own and then prayed after the fact while I was in the furnace, I ain't going to say that God didn't rescue me, but I'm going to say it was a lot harder. He let me get a little bit warm. I'm just going to put it to you that way. So wherever we are, just understand, we got a little bit of Nebuchadnezzar in us. So let's go see what happens in 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand." Remember, verse 15, "Then what God will rescue you from my hand," is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Verse 18, "But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." We will have that choice at some point in our life, if not daily. Jesus didn't, listen, because we're Christians doesn't mean that we're lawbreakers. But if the law stands against God's law, then we must stand up. We must not comply. So many times there's abuse on both of those. Well, the phrase now is only God can judge me. You're right. Only God can judge me. But that does not excuse your sin. That is not, we use that when we sin. Well, what do you got to say about it? Only God can judge me. You're right. But you see, I understand that my sin was leading me to death. And when God goes to judge me, he's going to look and see Christ. And I know it hurts my heart if he looks and is supposed to see Christ and instead sees my pride. So for each and every one of us, we have to understand we'll get there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing there, and they're standing on the firm promise of God to say, God, even if you won't see me, even if this man can't see this go through, know that our God can rescue and deliver us. Go back to John 17. What is it that Jesus prayed? Father, if this cup can pass before me, let it, but thy will be done. That is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying. All of us right now, really quick, sidebar, you want to go down your rabbit hole today, I'm going to give you one. Everybody's losing their mind over what's happening in the Middle East. And I've told you, I'm not somebody that says, Lord, rapture us now, because you know what? He'll rapture us when he's ready. And I'm going to tell you, I want to be here as long as he wants me to be here. I don't want to go early. I want to be a voice of hope, of his hope, and the hope of the gospel to people that would never hear it otherwise. If it means I get to give 10,000 more shoeboxes before he calls me home, I'm fine with it. Bring it on. So if you want to go there, I just want to say, here's where you are. Are you ready? We've been in the end time since he ascended in Acts. There you go. We've been waiting on it. Now, if you really want to go, he said we'd know the signs and it would happen. So when you hear of Russia coming from the north and the third temple being built, that's when you're going to know the Antichrist is going to come. I'll leave it at that. We'll save that for another series. God bless. There's your rabbit hole for the day. So I'll say all that. Instead of getting your blood pressure up, maybe we should be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here and say, I don't care what's happening in the rest of the world. I know who my God is, and he's got me. And you see how peaceful they were with that? They weren't enraged. They stood firm. We just sang about it. Firm foundation. They stood firm because they knew where their hope and their peace was. For you and I, it's the same in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Hey, when that boss says either you compromise or you're fired, let me know how it goes for you. Good luck. You're giving up three times what you would be making now to do that. But you see, God's called me to do something greater. And who I am in Christ is more than I'll ever be on a paycheck that you sign. Maybe it's a career choice. Maybe it's a school. Maybe it's a relationship. Whatever that is, church, we get to be the church because we can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here because we know with Christ our hope is not lost. That song is a familiar Christian song now, even if you won't. I know you can, right? You hear that. I mean, I love when that song is there. And then, you know, I know you're able and I know you can, but even if you won't, my hope is you alone, Christ. My hope is you alone. That's what we get to share with the world. When death is staring at us, how we're different than the world is, it's a stepping stone from glory to glory. Even death. Even death. So if you want to know the first thing we believe at the Vine Church, is we believe Jesus is the center. We believe Jesus is the center. Now, it's a reminder for all of our sowers that are in the house right now, but I know that southern drawl, if you're listening to me online and not seeing my face, you can't see. It sounds like, Jesus is the center. Well, he became sin for us, but it's not sinner, it's center, like the position on a football field. Like, center is who Jesus is. And we talked about that last week when it comes to the vine. John 15:5 reminds us, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Everything that we do flows from Jesus being the center of all that we do. If Jesus ain't in it, we don't want nothing to do with it. If it's about our name on shining lights, if it's about anything about us, it's not. From beginning to end, we follow Christ being the center. Why? He is the thread of love throughout the Bible from the beginning and end for us in this tapestry that God is weaving together. Christ, he is the center of it all. Now, some of you are going to say as we get to the end, but he is the head. Yes, he is the head because he is the center. What do we mean by he is the center when we talk about this? Well, all right, so there's debates on solar system, right? We have the flat earthers and the round earthers. I ain't got time for that crap. But when you learned we had, before there was a moment in time when there was Aristotelian and Copernican solar systems. I remember, I think it was back in third grade I did the solar system. Kids probably do it in kindergarten now. I wasn't always the brightest. So we did the solar system. What is in the middle of the solar system, church? One more time, louder. The sun. Huh. So God in his creation puts the sun in the center of his creation that brings life to everything in the solar system. Without the sun, church, we ain't got life. There's your church in a sentence. Bring that to school this week, wherever you are. Gravity. Have you ever thought about not having gravity? We talk about how much gravity stinks, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful for gravity. Because with my GI, I'm thankful that it flows right. It's got gravity. Because if it's floating out there, whoo, I ain't got time for that. Gravity, you ever tried to walk without gravity? What is holding you down? What is guiding you? That is should be Jesus. That is what we want for our church. It is the force pulling us. Can you resist gravity on your own? See, when you're a follower of Christ, you can't resist following him step by step. Talk about that in a minute. So let's look and see how that plays out in this story. See, Nebuchadnezzar tried to change the identity of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Really quickly, you can look back at chapter 1, but I'm going to lay it out here real quick before we move on in here. See, the center of who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is Christ. It is God. It is the God of Israel, which we know Jesus is God for us. So, all the way through, the first name is Hananiah. That is Shadrach's Hebrew name is Hananiah. Hananiah means God has favored. So Hananiah comes in as God has favored. He goes into Babylonian captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar says, I will name you Shadrach, which means guest of the king. Outside of that, the second friend is Mishael. Now, it's not going to be a surprise of who he is, but Mishael, his Hebrew name means who is like God. So Hananiah means God has favored. That is Shadrach's Hebrew name. Mishael, which we know as Meshach, was his given name by Nebuchadnezzar. So Mishael means who is like God. Meshach means guest of the king as well. Shadrach, excuse me, I think I told you wrong, is royal, the great scribe. Excuse me, he is royalty or the great scribe. Mishael means guest of the king. Sorry about that. I messed that up for you. Mishael is who is like God. His Babylonian name, Meshach, means guest of the king. Hananiah means God is favored. Shadrach means royal or the great scribe. Now, Azariah is Abednego that we know as we know throughout Daniel 3, but Azariah is his Jewish name, and it means Jehovah has helped, or God has helped, and he was renamed by Nebuchadnezzar Abednego, which means servant of Nebo, which is the Babylonian god of writing and vegetation. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what happens is Nebuchadnezzar is trying to say, your identity is in me now, and they say, you can call me a different name, but I know what I am in God. I know who my identity is. And my identity says first, Hananiah, God has favored. Mishael, who is like God? And Azariah, Jehovah or God has helped. So you can throw me in the furnace. My God's going to help me because there is no other God like me because in him I'm favored. You can call me a guest of the king. You can write it down in all of the scripts and you can have all the vegetation you want. But I know my God. And so for each and every one of us through Christ, we have to make sure we know he is the center of it all. The writer of Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 6:19, he is the anchor of our hope, Christ is. So really quick for each and every one of us, before we go on in this story, if you don't have anything at the center of, if anything other than Christ is the center of your life, you're headed for destruction. I got a 75-minute story I'm going to tell you, but really quickly, it's not going to be long. Out in Washington, it was 2003. Out in Washington. So we're talking a year and a half, not even a year and a half after 9/11. I had a 1987 AMC Jeep Grand Cherokee, the last year they made it. And I had a wheel bearing that was loose that had gone out. If you know anything about me, I don't know anything about cars. It's lucky that I even put gas in the right tank, by God's grace. If I can't watch a YouTube video to do it, I can't figure out how to do it. But that being said, you give me a lawnmower, we'll get that thing working tomorrow. I don't know why, but that's just how it rolls. It's because my papa taught me how to do that. So, anywho's, I get there and the bearing goes out and the wheel is shaking and the brake caliper explodes. Now, when it happened, I'm looking in my rearview mirror thinking my insurance is going to go up because that's my wheel that's probably rolling down the road, and it didn't. Now, it's exciting because you hear like the wheel bearing goes, the wheel is wobbly. It doesn't have a correct center because the bearing is going loose and it's sitting there and it's going like this. And all of a sudden the brake caliper said, I'm out. The brake caliper does. And you hear boom. Now, that sounds crazy, right? But let me tell you where I broke down at. On the backside of Fort Lewis, literally by where the train tracks are at an army base. Less than 2 years after 9/11, there's a Jeep. There we go. Now it's clicking. You want to talk about prayer and nobody's coming along. And I see the military, like they're running drills in the back. And I'm like, God, I'm about to go to jail. Like I didn't do anything wrong. But what it was that I'm sharing that to say, that's our life. So many times if we don't have Christ as a center, we're headed for destruction, broke down in the wrong place at the wrong time and feeling hopeless. But in Christ, if he is the center, the world's going to say we're in the worst place, and we're going to say, I'm right on time where God wants me to be. And that's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are. Let's pick up in verse 19 to 23. Then Nebuchadnezzar, look at here. This is the abuser showing up again, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal. Man, Nebuchadnezzar was saying, say bye to them eyebrows, y'all. I'm searing that meat, baby. Like, before I put it on the grill, you know, if you make a steak, you got to turn it up real hot first, and then you lower it down to get the steak right. And if you can eat steak, praise God, eat some for me. But all the way through, he is getting there. He is mad. He is losing his control over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at verse 20. And he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in the blazing furnace. Now, really quickly, verse 15 again, what was it? He said, what God can save you from what? My hand. Yet he's not man enough to tie them up. He commands somebody else to do it. What pride will do. Verse 21. So these men wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Game over, right? We'll pick them up in 3 summers when they enter another timeline, right? Like when they break it out, there's some advertising that's got to happen in between, and they'll be in another timeline somewhere. I would say this is a hopeless situation. They go into the furnace. They know where their hope is in Christ, but just think, if you didn't have Christ, they're bound, they're tied up, they are looking for certain death, and they're alone. Just have themselves. So to the world, it's like, what good did it do to be thrown into the furnace? Second rabbit hole you want to go into today, if you were with us during summer in the prophets, remember the prophet Moloch is where furnaces were set up, where people would sacrifice their babies, Israel would, and that's why God said they were going into captivity, is they would sacrifice their babies, and they believed if they could walk through the fire, God Moloch would bless them. I'm pretty sure that furnace was to the god Moloch. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar's heating up. And we're going to see how God goes, and he's showing Israel, and he's showing us how we have the wrong idol. It may not be a 100-foot statue. It may be a cell phone. It may be something else. But when we see this, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego change. Here we go, verse 24 to 29. We're almost done. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked their advisors. He takes off his glasses, and he looks back in real good. He puts his sunglasses on, you know. Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Nothing like some good yes men. Certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor the hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. Now, we know it wasn't an angel, it was Jesus. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into a pile of rubble. How does it end? For no other God can save this way. Oh, what a difference 14 verses makes. From what God can save you from my hand to no other God can save this way. Now, let me ask you really quick. Let's look at this picture. We know Jesus is in there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but this is how Jesus opens others up to him through us. How close was Nebuchadnezzar to that fire? He walked right up to it. Now, did he get burned like those soldiers? Oh, no. God said, I'm going to let you look in this thing. I'm going to let you see what it's about. I'm going to let you see who the real God is. I'm going to let you see the God who is mighty to save. I'm going to show him to you. And you see what happened is we see Nebuchadnezzar's change from chapter 1 and chapter 2 to later, what is it, Daniel 6, we see Daniel in the lion's den. Remember his heart for Daniel? He runs out there. He hates that he has to throw him in the lion's den. And he prays for Daniel. See, We think that the corruption in the world that we're in, maybe even in our government anyway, we can't affect it. But by standing firm on the promise of God, we can take the most corrupt individual and they can see who God is. Even when they are trying to make us compromise, even when they are trying to say that we have no hope, we can point them to our hope. Because all of a sudden, what happens is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in bound for certain death all alone. And when Nebuchadnezzar looks in there, they're unbound, walking freely alive, and they got somebody with them. That's what we carry into the world is Christ. We don't have to worry about our words. We don't have to worry about having a plan of everything we have to say. We just have to be obedient to Christ in this moment. We just sang about the firm foundation. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were built on. That Matthew 7, when Jesus is there on the Sermon on the Mount, that's what they're built on. They're saying, hey, Christ is my firm foundation. I'm not built on sinking sand. Bring the storms, bring the hurricanes, bring the fire, baby, because I know that I'm going to make it through it. Because it pointed to this. Real quick, church, before we move on, the second thing we believe and we'll be done for the day. What if the thing the world is telling you is certain death is the very thing that God is using to bring life to others? That circumstance, that fiery furnace that the world is trying to destroy you with is the very thing that God's going to work through. I don't know about you, but I don't like to believe that. My pride says, there's got to be any other way, Lord. There's got to be another way. It can't be this way. This can't be the way that you want to do it. Like, it's not in my plans. It's not supposed to work out this way. This is not it. Like, Lord, there's got to be another way. And he said, trust me, son. I always go back to Psalm 23 with that, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the... I just went NKJV, sorry. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Right? He knows the way to the deepest valley for us. So church, we get to share that. So what's the second thing we believe? The first thing we believe is Jesus is the center. The second thing we believe is we believe living a faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ. A faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ. And what do I mean by that? As we look at the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it started with a diet they refused to change and not bowing down to the king. Now, that may not seem like a big thing. Do you think that it was only once that they didn't bow down before the bigwigs told on them? No, it was multiple times. Those small steps led up to a big stance on their faith for a big thing that God wants to do. And so many times where we get stuck is we don't want to believe that. We love the big stand, and I promise you the big stand can happen, but we love the big stand, and we'll disqualify ourselves because we can't take the big stand. Well, it can't make that big of an impact, but we've been talking about the one little shoebox can bring the next Billy Graham to Africa. One little shoebox. Don't despise the small beginnings. He makes what? The foolish wise. That's what he does. And so for each and every one of us, those small next steps add up to big things. As we said earlier, we took a small next step together today. We actually walked through what Vine Kids are going to be walking through today in our Vine Kids Weekly. It gives us a chance to have a conversation with our children, to gather around the table and see what they learned. And really quickly, just a reminder, we started with it. What is the big idea today? It is, I am not alone. God is with me. You know what? What if we went every day the rest of our life living like that? How much peace could we have? That doctor's coming back with that diagnosis. I'm not alone. God's with me. I'm not alone. God's with me. That job that seems like it's all but lost. I'm not alone. God is with me. That relationship that seems all but over. I'm not alone. God is with me. I'm not alone. God is with me. See, only sin would make us afraid of walking through the fire. Why? We've talked about this. Hell or Sheol in the Old Testament, we talk about it. I've talked about it as the absence of light in a way, but you can hear Jesus describes it as an unquenchable fire. Why? To be in the presence of God, we have to be righteous. In order to be righteous, that means we have to be without sin. There is a purification that has to take place. The writer of Hebrews also talks about God being an all-consuming fire in Hebrews 12. So what is hell? Hell is continually being thrown into the fire, purified, trying to purify the sin out of you that can never happen without Christ. Those of us who are in Christ, what is it, Paul's 1 Thessalonians, I think, that he talks about how we will, the wood, the hay, and the stubble of the world, that will be burnt off. Anything that is not in Christ will be burnt off through the fire. We will be tested by fire, but only the things that we followed Christ, we listened to Jesus and did what he said, will remain for eternity. See, we can walk through the fire in Christ. Bring it on, baby. Whereas hell is an unquenchable fire. You're just constantly in and out of that fire because you can never purify yourself. You can never get it right. And you are constantly thrown into that, constantly in and out of the fire. And that may sound so crazy harsh. And we may think, my goodness, that is awful. How could a God who loves me put me through that? And I want to be reminded, and I want all of us to be reminded today, a God who loves us didn't say that he was going to put us through it. He said, I'm willing to walk through it with you, but you've got to trust me as your Lord and Savior. So much so, he didn't stand outside the fire and say, you can make it. He goes directly into it. So before we open the door to invitation right now, I just want to say for all of us, what next steps God telling you to take? It don't have to be something huge. Maybe it's just prayer. We've been praying together. We've set up an opportunity to pray over these next few weeks as we go into our Christmas series. You can follow along with us. You can either do it daily, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or you can do it once a week. Maybe baptism's your next step. Man, we'd love to help you take that. I would love, love, love for you to come here. We got a pool, and guess what? I don't know if you've ever been baptized, but if you've ever been baptized, the water's always cold. Not here. It's warm, and not for bad reasons. It has chlorine, so it'll be green if there's something crazy going on, but like, it's warm. We even got a slide. What? If you want to know why babies cry at baptisms, it's because the priest is throwing cold water on them. You don't like cold water. None of us do. And I baptized, the first time I was able to baptize someone, there was this kid, he's probably 7, 8 years old, and he's sitting there, and he's shaking so much, like, this is how I'm holding. And he's like, who's your Lord and Savior? And he's, it's Jesus, kid. I got it. We're going to go under. We're ready to go, like, all the way through. Maybe that's your next step. The why is amazing. We love that we get to be here. We schedule it. Let's go get you baptized. Let's go. Let's take that next step. Maybe that's the next step holding you back. Maybe it's financially. Maybe God's calling you to do something financially. Trust him with that. Trust him with that. See if you can do it. Maybe your small next step can be serving. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's getting involved in a local church near you. Whatever that is, I encourage you, please take that small next step today, because that very step could be the freedom of sin for somebody that God places in your path. Take that small next step. We want to walk with you through that. Because together, we get to be a part of bearing fruit at the vine. But apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And apart from us not being the body of Christ, we can't do anything. It'll last for a second, but it won't last for eternity. It brings me back to the end, where we open this door of invitation, the Tootsie Pop. I just want to say, many of us will waste our whole life without Christ trying to get to the center of who we are. This world is in an identity crisis. The world will tell you your identity needs to be in this space, in this place, at this time, in this product, and this. And it is searching for who they are. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have been there, searching for who they are. Were they supposed to be high up in Babylon, or were they supposed to be who God says they are? And they made the choice that I am who God says I am, not what the world says I am. So the question is, what's the center of you? We just talked about the blazing furnace. See, sin left us in a space and a place of a blazing furnace that was certain death. And instead of leaving us in this blazing furnace, God loved us enough. He loved us enough. He didn't leave us there. He steps in the fire for us. As a matter of fact, all of us are destined for that furnace. All of us are. Because the wages of sin is death. And because of that, God in his great mercy and love said, I'm not going to leave you in this situation. I'm actually going to rescue you and deliver you through it. So he comes down in his son, Jesus Christ, who lives a perfect, sinless life we couldn't give, allowing us not to have to be in the furnace. But that he didn't stop there. Even though because of the wages of sin being death, Jesus dies for us. He said, instead of you dying in that furnace, guess what? I'm going to die for you in your place, so that when you walk through the fire, you ain't even going to smell like it. You ain't gonna look like it. Nothing's gonna be singed. And he loves us enough that he said, I'm not only going to pay the wages for you to get through the furnace, I'm going to let you walk out of the furnace now, not in eternity, by leaving an empty tomb. So Christ and Christ crucified and us receiving him as our Lord and Savior, making Jesus the center of our life, surrendering our life to him, confessing and repenting our sin by saying, Jesus, I know I can't get through this furnace alone. I am bound, I am certain death, and I am all alone. But with you, I will be delivered through it. The world is looking at the furnace, and it thinks like those people who worship Molech, if they can just get through the furnace, they'll have life. And I want to tell you, because of sin, they'll never make it out without Christ. But because of Christ in you and me, we walk through it every day. Colossians 1 says this when it comes to Jesus being the center of us and making him the center of our life. Colossians 1, 17 through 20 says this about Jesus. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And this is the important part, church. And through him reconcile himself all things, whether things of earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. If you are tired of trying to figure out the center of it all, if you are tired of trying to figure out who you need to be outside of Christ, I'm going to ask you today, would you consider Jesus? We're about to say this prayer, and we say the words of these prayer out loud. It's not the words that save you, it's the faith, and we just laid it out there. We are saying that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we can never save ourselves or purify ourselves enough or get it right or serve enough or give enough that could ever let us be free from death. And we needed a Savior. And God in his great mercy sends his Son to be our Savior. He dies for us, paying the penalty for that sin on the cross, the reason we need a Savior. And he loves us enough that he doesn't stay dead. He rises again on the third day and leaves an empty tomb and defeats death itself, so that even death itself in this world can't take this life away from us that we get in Christ Jesus. But it requires the faith to receive it. It requires surrender. It requires us to lay our pride down and trust him as our Savior, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. So we're going to say this prayer out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time, and because we pray out loud as a family together. Nobody prays alone here, so please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're in the house or you're online and listening throughout the week, I'm going to ask you to take a next step today. If for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to take the next step of boldly raising your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're in the house, would you raise your hand? If you're online, you can give a raised hand emoji. As a matter of fact, you can go to thevine.tv/respond. You may see that in your comments. You can shoot us a message on social media. Shoot us a text message at 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate this decision with you, but the reason we want to celebrate with you is this is the starting block, not the finish line. We want to help you get involved in a local church near you. For the rest of us, you can look up and let's go ahead and stand up. I'm just going to say what I love about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is this. Just like Stephen, when everyone was stoning him in the action, I know it just turned dark again. I'm sorry. Stephen being stoned, was Stephen looking at those stoning him? He turned his eyes and he said, I see the Son sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he prays for their forgiveness. When the world said, you deserve death, he said, I know I do, but I've been given life through Christ. And so I pray, church, wherever we go, we would have our eyes turned to him. And as we go into this worship song, we would be able to live it out. Let's praise together.
eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave his life for us, and our measureless debt was erased.
Not alone. God is with me. When we go out today, no, you're not alone. God is with you. That waiter, that waitress, that long line at Wade's, God's with you. He's going to get you through it wherever you are. That Krispy Kreme line with that hot now sign, he's going to get you through the drive-thru. And when you're stuck at lunch at Chick-fil-A tomorrow, I don't know how two lines made it faster, but somehow it did. Figure out how to turn left and you'll be a millionaire. But most importantly, wherever you are, we hope you join us next week. And we would love to see your smiling face for zero calorie food prayer. But more importantly, a people who are gathered together together to lift the name of Jesus high. Have a great week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.